page 342. By the time y'all get ready and Jimmy and them stop talking over there.
3:42. Good evening, church. I will try to stay as close as I can to this microphone and not wander around. Your bulletin this morning, I heard some laughter. Y'all don't believe me, do you? I won't make any promises, but I will try. I think we got trust issues here. You know? The clock on the wall is not working, and they were in a hurry to replace the battery, so I wouldn't go as long as I wanted to. I think I got some trust issues. No, I'm just trying to be funny, but we do welcome you here to tonight's Sunday evening service. If you're joining us on social media, we welcome you too. We're going to be in the book of Hosea, in the Old Testament. I've only got three verses for you tonight, but they do have a lot of, there is a lot of a message there, and I'll try to be brief tonight, there is quite a bit of message here in Hosea. And again, the last time we were honored to be in the pulpit to preach from another minor prophet, Habakkuk. Hosea is another of the minor prophets, so to speak. And if I had a title for tonight's message, it would be Willful. No, a porky pig that all to pieces, didn't it? It would be Willful Ignorance. Willful Ignorance. We see a lot of that in our society today. And it's not just, we do see a lot of ignorance out of the fact that people just don't know how to hear God and how to listen to Him and how to heed His commandments. But we also see in this day and age a lot of willful ignorance, a lot of I just choose not to heed the Word of God. I just choose not to do what God would have me to do. I make a conscious effort in to not listen to God, to not hear God and to not do the things that he would have me to do. And that's willful ignorance. And that's willful sin. And that requires repentance, and that requires a seeking God to for forgiveness of that. And tonight we're going to go into that. Just the three verses in Hosea chapter 4, by the way. We're going to go over to chapter 4. A lot of this has to do with a me-first generation. We certainly live in a me-first generation. If you don't believe that, look at advertising. I had the pleasure of being able to work in television for about 15 years of my life, and I became very familiar with how advertising was geared toward people. In fact, I was an editor. I edited programs for network television, and we were required by one network to pump up the commercials. The commercials had to be 10% louder than the program by specifications. If you did not follow that specification, they would reject your show and send it back to you and make you fix it. And so that was one way. They wanted you to hear what they had to say. And they put it out there in your face. Now, a lot of I watch a lot of classic TV, a lot of classic game shows, and you know, it goes without saying, times have changed as far as programming and things. Everything's in your face now. Everything's a me first generation. You all know the slogan, "Just do it." Just do whatever comes, whatever you feel like. With no repercussions or no consequences, just do it. There's all kinds of different slogans out there that are me first. And we're going to get into that tonight. We live in that me first generation. Now rewind about 2,800 years. What we're going to read from tonight was written about 600 B.C., that rewinds us close to 2,800 years. And before we get into this scripture, I'm going to read down through verse 6, but we're going to focus on the first three verses of Hosea 4. Let me give you a little background on Hosea. Hosea was a prophet. He spoke forth the word of the Lord and applied that word to his life and to the people and the circumstances around him, as you would expect a prophet to do. That was exactly what he was supposed to do. Now, he faced a lot of rejection in his time. As we go through the prophets in the Old Testament, there's one common theme that runs through them all, and that's rejection. And the Old Testament will point toward the cross. The New Testament will point toward the what the cross is going to do. The New Testament will point back to what the cross has done. And certainly rejection is a common theme of the prophets and goes all the way to the cross. Rejection was a major part of the cross. Rejection was the reason that Christ came to go to the cross, because he knew the sinful man would reject him. And that they would have a need for a Savior. So rejection is a common theme as you read through the Old Testament and even into the New Testament as it points back to the cross. So Hosea was a man God used to speak through as a prophet. And it says he was the son of Beeri. And as you read through these Old Testament scriptures, the names in the Old Testament have a meaning. I'm going to tell you what Hosea means just yet. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But it comes from the same Hebrew root word as the names Joshua and Jesus. And we know that he had a wife named Gomer and two sons and a daughter. But nowhere else in the Bible is Hosea mentioned. And we'll get to what his name means here later in the message. And his ministry spanned the years of 760 to 720 B.C. during the days of the divided monarchy. If you were here maybe three Wednesdays ago, I think when Mr. Paul taught, he taught about the divided nation. You spoke about the divided monarchy, the northern and the southern kingdoms. And that's right where we are here. And after the days of David and Solomon, when the people of God were divided in a civil war. So there's hostility, there's rejection, there's all of that that goes into this. And Hosea began his ministry in the days of Jeroboam the second. And from a political and economic standpoint, Jeroboam was a pretty successful king. And Israel prospered politically and materially under his reign, but it was a time of significant spiritual and moral decay. And we're going to find out why that was. Why the breakdown? Why, when they were ruled by such a good king and saw such prosperity, did everything just all of a sudden break down? Spiritually, morally, we're going to see that here in this scripture. And the terrible result of the decay wouldn't become evident until the days of Jeroboam the second were finished, until after his reign was over. Then it became clearly evident that the society, morally, politically, and in all different facets, had crumbled. And there's a reason for that. Through chapter 2 and 3 of Hosea, we see the sins of Israel brought about. And then in chapter 3, the restoration of Hosea's wife Gomer. And now that brings us over here to chapter 4, where we see Israel once again returning to their wicked ways. And that is the reason that they go into moral and political and societal decline. And so that brings us here into chapter 4. And it says, "Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the harts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof, for your people are like those who contend with the priests. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." Those are pretty strong words. Words of judgment. Words of things that are going to come to pass because the children of Israel refuse to do all of these things when it comes to God. If we had to define ignorance, how would you define it? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Whether intentionally or willfully, it's lack of knowledge. A lack of understanding. And that goes hand in hand. Ignorance goes hand in hand with illiteracy. Now, I'm talking about the inability to read or write. That certainly is a definition of illiteracy. But I'm talking about biblical and godly illiteracy. And that goes hand in hand with willful ignorance. And so we get into Hosea chapter 4. And ignorance of the Word of God, the first point, the first thing that the children here of Israel were refusing to do, willful ignorance of the Word of God is first a refusal to hear the Word of God. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. The Hebrew word here used for to hear in this verse is psalma, and it means to hear, which means to perceive by ear, to hear of or concerning, to have to hear with attention or interest, to listen to understand a language, to hear of judicial cases, to listen, to give heed to yield to, and also to obey and to be obedient. The Israelite people were doing none of this. And so they refused willfully. They refused to listen, to hear God. They refused to be attentive to Him. They refused to obey Him. They went and did what they wanted to do. The opposite to obey and to be obedient to God and to hear what God has to say is to ignore, which is our root word of ignorant, which is where ignorant comes from, willful ignorance. To ignore something that's being said to you, to ignore a call of God, to ignore the basic and strong commandments of God, to ignore what He is saying, to refuse to listen to anything that the Word of God would say, whether it be preaching, whether it be teaching, whether it be study, whether it be your prayer life, to willfully ignore is to be willfully ignorant of what God has to say to you. And this is a society, we unfortunately live in a society 2,800 years later that hasn't learned from the Israelites. Hosea could have written this for modern day society. You go back and read it again. Listen to the word of the Lord. He's writing to those sons of Israel, but fill in the blank there. Listen to the word of the Lord, O town that you live in. Listen to the word of the Lord, O state or country or world or society or culture or whatever you want to fill in the blank there. Listen to the word of the Lord. And it will apply to today's society and culture. The Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. Does the Lord not have a case against the world in which we live in? The Lord not have a case against the culture and society in which we live in? This was written for the inhabitants of Israel. But the relevance to you today is that you can fill in the blank and you can put any place in that blank, and it applies. There is no faithfulness or kindness. Would you agree that we live in a rude world? We live in a rude culture. What is that a result of? It's a me first generation. I want to be first. That goes back to, you know, I told you that I worked in television for 15 years. Part of that was working in the news industry, and I'm not putting those people down. I have a lot of friends in the news industry, still do. But one of the reasons that I got out of the news business and I got out of the news industry was because there was no kindness. It was all bad news. You know, when you have to have a segment of your newscast devoted to the good news of the day, you've got a problem. At the end of the newscast, if you're watching the 6 o'clock news, long about 6:28, here's a minute of good news. We've already fed you 28 minutes of bad. Here's a minute of good. And that's supposed to balance everything out. But you fill in the blank here. There is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. Willful ignorance. Who does have the kindness? Who does have the knowledge of God? Who does? That's our job. That's our job, to go to and fro into the highways and the hedges, preaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of Jesus. That's a great commission in Matthew 28. Preaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of Jesus so that they will know. Because 2,800 years later, it's still the same. Nothing much has changed. So we got a job to do. The Lord has a case against us, and we are the defendants of that case. It's saying it's certainly not a works-based salvation, but
doing what God would have us to do, because we're going to give account of what we have and what we have not done. To be unable or unwilling to hear, to refuse to pay attention, to be disinterested, refuse to listen to rebel and to disobey. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. When we turn back over to Habakkuk, what was prevalent in that society? Same thing. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. You know, not too long ago, it used to be a major thing to take a life. But now, there's not a lot of respect given to human life, is there? From cradle to the grave, there's not a lot of respect in our society given for human life. Bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky and also the fish of the sea. Question number one. Are we willfully ignorant because we refuse to hear God? Because we refuse to hear what He's trying to say to us? We refuse to listen to maybe what He's called us to do? Are we being willfully ignorant to the call of God? As Christian people, or maybe you're not a Christian person, I can't make that call. I can discern your fruits, but I can't ultimately make that call as to whether you belong to God or not. I can assume, but that's a dangerous assumption on my part to try and determine your eternity. I can get a pretty good idea from the fruits that I see, but even Scripture says that the very elect would be deceived if it were possible. So are we ignoring or being illiterate to because we refuse to hear? What did Matthew 11:15 say? Scripture reference, Old Testament referencing New. Matthew 11:15, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Or in other words, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now let's go back to the Old Testament. Isaiah, another prophet. Isaiah 30:21. "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." That indicates to me that there's a choice there. I can turn to the right, I can turn to the left, I can heed what God's saying to me, or I can go straight ahead and be willfully ignorant toward it. Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." Psalm 85:8. "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people, to His saints, but let them not turn back to folly." In other words, in the Psalms there, it's a foolish thing to be willfully ignorant to what God is trying to say to us. Let them not turn back to their folly. Let us hear what God is saying to us. Back over to the New Testament, Mark 4:24. "And He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you." So the first thing is willful ignorance of the Word of God is a refusal to listen, to hear. That's the first. Secondly, go down into that second verse there. It says, "There is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land." Actually, that's the last part of verse 1, going into verse 2. The second thing that willful ignorance is a part of is a refusal to have faith.
A refusal to hear what God has to say, and a refusal to have faith to believe that God will do what He said He's going to do. To have faith that God is able, to have faith and believe that despite the circumstances, that no matter what God is telling you to do, or no matter what God is calling you to do, it may seem to you like it's impossible, or that there's no way that I can do this, but God will make a way if we have faith. But willful ignorance of the Word of God is the refusal to not only hear, but the refusal to have faith. Hebrews 11:6, New Testament Scripture. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. What does Romans 8:28 say? For we know that all things work to good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Don't leave that last part out. A lot of people leave the last part of that verse out. Well, the Bible says that all things will work to good if I just believe in Him. No, no. No, that's not what Scripture says. It says to those who believe in Him and are called according to His purpose. God's will be done. We just have to listen and have faith that it can be done. Don't omit the Scripture. If you say all things work to good to those that love the Lord, you're leaving out an important part of that Scripture, and you're turning that Scripture into a falsehood. All things work to good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. See, just because I come to the altar, or just because I come and ask for forgiveness, doesn't mean that all of a sudden my days are roses and sunshine. Somebody ever tells you that, please correct them. Please direct them to the Scripture, because that's not what the Scripture says. The Israelites were willfully ignorant to the faith in God. Remember what happened to the three Hebrew children when they did have faith in God? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. When Nebuchadnezzar asked them, he basically asked them, "Do you believe that your God will deliver you from this?" And they said, "We're not careful to answer you, O king." And basically what they said was, "We don't know if we will, but we know He's able. We have faith that if it be His will, that He can deliver us from this. And we're not careful to answer you." In other words, we're not timid to answer you in this matter. We have faith that God can. And we have faith that He is able. And that's the extent of the faith there. We have to believe that God can. We have to believe that God is able. But they had none of that. They were going on their own. They were listening to their own ways and doing their own things and had no faith. No faith whatsoever in God. And therefore, without faith, they were not pleasing God. It's impossible to please God without faith. They refused to hear His commands and words, which in turn led to a lack of faithfulness in God. They were not doing the will of God and what God wanted them to do. And guess what happened? Everything crumbled. Their society crumbled. You want the basic answer as to why our society is crumbling today? Lack of faith. Lack of hearing. Lack of doing what God would have us to do. That's why our society's crumbling today. That's why we're in the moral decline that we're in. That's why we're in the spiritual darkness that we're in. Because, and I'm not just only talking about those who are not willfully ignorant, but are just ignorant in the fact that they just don't know. But I'm talking about those who do know and are still being willfully ignorant to the Word of God. Thirdly, is that a word? Thirdly. The third point, lack of hearing, lack of faith, they're all connected to a lack of love. A lack of love. That's the third point. Ignorance or willful ignorance or biblical illiteracy of the Word of God involves a refusal to love. There are all kinds of scripture that points to love. God is love. Without God, there is no love. So it goes without saying here that if they were living in a loveless society, that they were not believing, hearing, or having faith in God, and therefore they were not a loving people. What's the opposite of love? Hate. You are an enemy of God. God is love. Without love, guess what you have? You are an enemy of God. You hate what God said. You hate what He says. You refuse to listen to Him. You don't want to believe in Him. You are an enemy of God. Many, many scriptures on love. Here are just a few. Look at them closely. Not only are the Israelite people refusing them, but our society as a whole is refusing them. Matthew 6:24, New Testament reference. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Now that goes on to say you cannot serve God and money, but you can fill in the blank there. You cannot serve God and something else. Fill in the blank, whatever it may be. Whether it be your money, your career, whatever it may be, you can't serve both. You'll serve one and hate the other, but you can't serve them both. You can't be divided. There is no fence straddling. John 4:16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Turn that scripture around. Let's throw a few knots in there and see what you get. What is the opposite of this verse? If we have come to willfully not know and not believe in the love that God has for us, God isn't love to us. God loves us, but we don't love Him. God is always love toward, but we love Him because He first loved us. God will continue to love no matter what. Nothing can separate you from that love. No height, no depth, nor expanse of space. That's Scripture. But we can certainly distribute a lack of love for Him. And whoever doesn't abide in love does not abide in God. And God does not abide in him. You can see, you can put the negative connotation on that verse. You can flip it around to the opposite of what it does say. And you've got somebody that doesn't love God. You've got somebody that's an enemy of God. And the Israelite people here were the same way. And we can say that our society in general is the same way. 1 Corinthians 4:4-13. Love is patient and kind. Now read this with the mindset of what love, of what the absence of love is. Love is patient and kind. The absence of love is impatient and unkind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and never ends. That goes down to verse 8. It goes on. Those verses go on into 13. But do we see what love is? And then we can see what love is not. And the Israelite people here that Hosea is addressing here, and the Lord is addressing here, they are a loveless society. They don't have any of this. They're impatient. They're unkind. They're envious. They're boastful. They're arrogant. They're rude. They insist on their own way. They're irritable. They're resentful. They rejoice at wrongdoing. They do not rejoice with the truth. They don't bear all things. They don't believe all things. They don't hope in all things. They don't endure all things. And their love has ended. That sounds like a pretty miserable society, doesn't it? Does that not sound like the society that we live in today? You say, well, we hear all of this talk about our society. Where's the hope in this? Where's the hope in this message? Where's the relevance in this message for me? Hold on. Stick with me. So that's the third thing. Willful ignorance involves a refusal to hear. Willful ignorance of the Word of God involves a refusal to have faith. It involves a refusal to love. And what happened? There was a moral breakdown. People were swearing. They were lying. They were killing. They would swear to a lie. Their word meant nothing. They would make contracts they had no intention of keeping. They thought nothing of breaking their contracts. Killings were very common. All of these things were a moral breakdown. But where's the hope? The fourth thing involves a refusal to acknowledge. It says there, there were no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. A refusal to acknowledge or to have knowledge of God. They refused to acknowledge who God was. They refused to acknowledge that He was speaking. They refused to hear. They refused to have faith. They refused to believe in who God was. They refused to do what He wanted them to do. They refused to love. They refused to love one another, which is the greatest commandment. They refused to follow the words of God, and they refused to acknowledge who God was, who He said He was, what He said He was going to do. They refused all of that. So where's the hope in this message? Remember I told you that the word Hosea meant something? The name Hosea means salvation. And this is where this message relates to the cross. James 1:5 says this: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. And what about the cross? What about salvation? What about the whole name, the whole meaning behind the name of Hosea? What about salvation? That's your hope in this message. Because in order to receive salvation, in order to receive forgiveness, in order to receive repentance, we have to first hear the conviction that is being offered from God. We have to first willfully listen to the call of God. We have to first willfully listen and hear that God is knocking at the heart and saying, you have sin in your life that needs to be reconciled. You have sin in your life that needs to be repented of. You have sin in your life. You have a need for a Savior. Will you hear the call? Will you hear what is being preached and said to you? Will you hear what God is saying to you? Will you hear that small, still voice that's speaking, that's convicting you of the sin in your life that you need to repent of? Will you hear that? Or will you willfully ignore it? You'll be willfully ignorant of it. Will you have faith that God can answer that prayer?
could answer that prayer, not only of the sinner, but of the one that's been a Christian for a long time, that may have sin in their life that is unrepented, that was a willful sin, that was a willful ignorance of what God wants us to do. When we have faith that He can reconcile that, that we can reconcile that with Him, or we'll be willfully ignorant of it. Will we have love? Will we say, I love you, Father, and I want to do what you would have me to do, but I have things in my life that are standing in the way of that I need to reconcile through either salvation or through what was done at the cross or through the prayer and supplication and the mediation that God gives Jesus gives as He's seated at the right hand of the Father? Will I show my love? Will I abide in Christ because He abides in me, or will I willfully ignore it? And finally, will I acknowledge that God is able to do all of these things? Will I acknowledge who God is and what He has done? You know, we've talked a lot about the past few Sundays about the mind of Christ, preparing ourselves for Easter. Well, before you get to the resurrection, you got to go through the cross. You got to get to the cross before you can go to the resurrection. And that's where Hosea's name, salvation, comes in. So, are we doing all of these things? Or are we being willfully ignorant of them? Are we pointing the finger at the Israelites while acting just like them? Are we doing these things that God would have us do? Or are we being willfully ignorant and therefore being biblically illiterate to what God would have us to do? That's a question for you today, or tonight. That's the message for you tonight. Ask yourself those questions as you ponder this message tonight. I thank you for being attentive. Anyone have a word? If not, Brother Paul, would you dismiss us this evening?